Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good to see you. Parshas Vayetze. This is a wonderful example of a parsha that, if properly understood, I believe, presents a cohesive whole and a cohesive challenge. What? It says toldos on it. That's a mistake. All right, my mistake. It is Vayetze. If it says a patriarch's problematic vow on it, then it's Parshas Vayetze. My mistake. Okay, people told me that I should put the Parsha in my name on, so I did, but I just put the wrong Parsha on. It is Vayetze. Cross out toldos, put in Vayetze. Okay, so let's review the events in the Parsha very, very quickly. As the Parsha opens, the dramatic scene of Yaakov Avinu leaving Eretz Yisrael for the first time in over a generation, because Avraham left, but Yitzchak never left. Yaakov is leaving. He dreams his famous dream of a ladder ascending to heaven. He reacts to the dream. He continues his journey. He ends up in the house of Lavan. He works 7 years for Rachel, only to find that he marries Leah because of Lavan's deceit. He works another 7 years for Rachel, all right? Actually, he marries Rachel immediately and then works 7 years to pay back that obligation. And then he works for another 6 years, during which time he is extremely successful, and Lavan would say at Lavan's expense. He then returns to Eretz Yisrael, is told by God to return to Eretz Yisrael. And there is a last interface between Lavan and Yaakov. And the Parsha ends with Yaakov returning to Eretz Yisrael from this golus in Lavan's house. Now, as I said, I believe that each event, you know, is extremely important, but this is one of those parshiot that can be seen as a cohesive whole. And that issues a very cohesive challenge, which is extremely timely for our time. And the key is really one of the most problematic paragraphs in the Parsha, maybe the most problematic paragraph in the Parsha, and probably one of the most problematic paragraphs in the entire Torah. And that is the Neder of Yaakov, the famous Neder of Yaakov. Scene is as follows. Yaakov wakes up twice from the dream, from that first dream that he has with the ladder ascending to heaven. The second time he wakes up, which is when he wakes up for good, he turns and he erects a matseva. He erects a stone pillar. He anoints it. And he says a neder. He turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he issues a vow. If you'll take a look at the top of your page, that vow is there for us. Vayidor Yaakov neder lemor. Yaakov issued a vow. Im yel Elokim imadi, and I'll read it as it is usually translated. Im yel Elokim imadi, if God will be with me, ushmorani baderech hazeh asher anochi holech, and if he guards me on this derech, on this path that I am going, v'nosan li lechem leechol uveged lilbosh, and if he gives me food to eat and clothing to wear, and just a side comment, that here Chazal praise Yaakov for that passage, because they say he's not asking for big things. He's only asking for, he's a sameach bechelko. So he said, just give me food and dress. He doesn't say, give me riches. Give me, but anyway, continuing. Vishavti v'shalom obesavi, and I return in peace to my father's house. V'hoyo Hashem lelokim, then God will be my God. And this Eben, this stone that I have created as a pillar, will be the house of God. And everything that he gives to me, I will give to him a tenth. I will tithe. Okay, that's the neder. What's the problem? He is making his belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu conditional, right? particularly the phrase, which phrase is the most problematic there? V'haya Hashem li l'Elokim, right? The way I read it, then God will be my God, right? If you do these things for me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you'll be my God. And if you don't do these things for me, one would then bring about the Tanai, right? Bring out the condition. If you don't do these things for me, then what? You're not going to be my God, right? I'm not going to tithe. I'm not going to do these things. It's a very, very difficult neder. It's very difficult. Making it even more difficult is the fact that it comes after the dream. And look at what God says to him in the dream, all right? In the dream, and I'm just look at just the underlined section in the second paragraph. V'hine anochi imach ushmarticha b'chol asher telech, or imcha, I'll go with you with all you go, with everywhere you go, and I'll guard you wherever you go. V'ashivosicho elo adomazos, and I'll bring you back to this land. Ki lo ezovcha ad asher aniyasisi es kol asher dibar telach, because I will not leave you until I've done everything I promised you. So God says in the dream, I will guard you wherever you go, and I'll bring you back to the land. So what does Yaakov do when he wakes up? He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you do what you said, right? And he names exactly what it is that God already promised him in the dream. And says, I'm wondering, you know, says Yaakov, if you're really going to do this. So the neder is extremely, extremely difficult. And a variety of approaches are suggested by Chazal. The most often cited, are those which are suggested by Rashi and others, who say the following, that the request that God should be with me and guard me is not really a conditional request. That if you do this, then it's rather, if you give me the opportunity to do something, then I will do it. And what does it mean, right? V'haya li l'Elokim, according to this interpretation, if it's part of the condition, if you will give me the opportunity to be with you, how? By having all of my children see you as a God, by having all my offspring see you as a God, then I'll be able to do all these things. So it's not, if you do this, then I'll do this, and if you don't, it's just give me the chance. Just give me the chance. Just give me food to wear, food to eat and clothing to wear. Give me sometimes, yeah, all right. That reminds me of a joke, but I'm not going to say it. All right, just give me the opportunity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'll come through, okay? Another explanation given by the Sfarno is the Sfarno says that the phrase, V'haya Hashem li l'Elokim, the word Elokim in the Torah means what? It means God, but it also means what? Judge. What, according to the Sfarno, what Yaakov is saying is, then you judge me. You watch, right? If you do all these things for me, then you watch. You be my judge. I'll come through. But these are all different explanations wrestling with the end. And there are those who still find it problematic. There is even a source in the Medrash Rabbah. There's even a source in the Medrash Rabbah which suggests that this is one of those cases where it's ein mukdam u'mu'uchar ba'Torah. Remember, I told you that, you know, does the Torah follow chronological order? I'm just going to repeat this. The Torah follows chronological order, except when it doesn't. What I mean by that is the following, all right? It always follows chronological order. The Ramban, for example, says it's never out of order. However, there are some commentaries who sometimes will say, it's the exception, that things are out of order, because they can't understand things in the order as it appears. But those are exceptional cases. That's one of those rules that we learn in school that we think applies. How many times we hear our kids say, "Ein mukdam u'mu'uchar ba'Torah," you know, everything's chronological. except for those commentaries who say that these certain exceptional cases are not. So the Medrash says, I'll come back to you in a sec, the Medrash says that this is one of those exceptional cases, that the dream followed the neder. It's not that the dream preceded the neder. It's that the neder, you know, that Yaakov came to this place, he turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, please be with, dot, 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 and then God gave him the dream, which promised all the things that were in the neder. But it's an isolated opinion. It's not accepted by any of the other commentaries. And it just shows the difficulty that that position had with understanding the Torah as it flows. No, the Septuagint, no. The Torah, you're thinking of different things. The Torah itself, the text itself, is the text that we believe is God-given and in the order that God gave it. What is alien, actually, are the chapters where it says Perek Chaf Aleph, Perek Chaf Bet. Those were made by non-Jewish authorities. But the flow of the text, is continual. And the Septuagint, what they did is they changed some words because they, in turn, the Hebrew is still the original. That's an excellent question. I don't know the answer to that. I'm going to take a look at the text and I'll try to give you an answer next time. All right? It's a very good question. Okay, we'll take two more questions and then we'll move. Yes. I'm going to build on that. All right? We're going to move in that direction, but let me just make a comment. Dibra Torah Kil Shibon B'nei Adam is not an explanation for an event like this. That it is for when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things that we interpret. For example, it says Vayichar Af Hashem, God got angry. So that's when Chazal will say Dibra Torah Bilshon B'nei Adam. That here, your comment is well taken. We have to take a look at the psychology. We have to see what's happening with Yaakov. We're going to come back to that. That's an excellent direction. Last comment, yes. Okay. Well, that's Rashi. Good. That is Rashi. That is the explanation, which says, just give me a chance and I'll come through. All right. But I'm going to now take you to a revolutionary approach of the Ramban, okay, which we will then move a step further than the Ramban in an even bigger revolution. But let's start with the Ramban. The Ramban, to understand how the Ramban interprets the Neder, you first have to understand the Ramban's position concerning mitzvot. And this is not the Rambam, this is not Maimonides, this is Nachmanides. The Ramban has a position concerning mitzvot which is extraordinary. He maintains that every mitzvah, not just those mitzvot which are tluyot ba'aretz, which are connected to the land of Israel, like Shemitah, every mitzvah is incomplete outside the land of Israel. Every mitzvah. Which means, according to the Ramban, that when you put a mezuzah on the door, you are obligated to do it, I'll use my case, in Englewood, New Jersey, but that putting the mezuzah on the door, that mitzvah that I did, which was a mitzvah, was not a complete mitzvah. It's only when I put on tefillin every day throughout my life until I made aliyah, until I was here even visiting, whatever it is, all those mitzvot, every mitzvah is incomplete outside the land of Israel. And what's fascinating is the Ramban practiced what he preached. At age 73, the Ramban made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, all right, and making Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael at that time was without Nefesh B'Nefesh, without the Misrad Klita. It was without Misrad Klita, but it was a much more difficult endeavor, an amazingly difficult endeavor. And to do it at that age, in that time, and he comes to Eretz Yisrael, and he moves into Yerushalayim, and he becomes a pivotal figure in the founding of the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, in his day. All right? Which makes it much more meaningful when you go to the Ramban synagogue in the Ir HaAtika. Now, the Ramban takes this position throughout, and he bases it on text, but one of the texts that he bases it on is a text that you and I say every day more than once. All right, take a look at the bottom of the page. Take a look at the next page. We're going to come back to the bottom of the page. V'chara af Hashem b'chem v'yotzar es ha-shomayim v'lo yiyeh motor. O'adama lo siten eshuo. What? Sound familiar? Second paragraph of the Shema. Va'avadetem mehera. If you don't listen to God, you're going to be exiled from the land, speedily from the land. Asher Hashem no sein lochem. V'samtem es divorai ela al levavchem. Next pasuk. You're going to be exiled from the land and place these mitzvos on. So along comes Chazal, the Medrash, well before the Ramban. And the Medrash says, wait a minute, what's the connection between you're going to be exiled from the land and do the mitzvot? Right? What's the connection? Obviously, if there are mitzvot which are not tluyot ba'aretz, which are not bound to the land, like the mitzvot that they then go on and talk about, tefillin and mezuzah, then of course I have to fulfill them. Why would I think I don't have to fulfill them? No one ever said that I only have to fulfill them in Eretz Yisrael, says the Medrash. Elo tiyu mitzuyonim b'mitzvot, be excellent in the performance of mitzvot, so that when you come back, you'll know how to do them. Wow. That seems to even go further than the Ramban, right? Which is, everything outside the land of Israel is what? Practice. Right? So that when I get back, I know what I'm supposed to do. Now, I'm going to take a step back here because I don't want to be misquoted or misunderstood. That does not mean that mitzvot are only practice outside the land. When those mitzvot, which I'm obligated to do, that are not connected to Eretz Yisrael, I'm obligated to do wherever I am as mitzvot, and they are mitzvot, and I'm fulfilling a mitzvah. But, says the Medrash, there is an element of that performance that is to prepare you for return. And therefore, along comes the Ramban, and building on this Medrash and other sources, says, I believe that every mitzvah outside the land is incomplete. Now let's see how the Ramban understands the vow. Take a look at the bottom of the page. First page. V'haya Hashem li le'elokim. The phrase we said was the most problematic. God will be my God, right? I'll come back, and if I come back, then God will be my God. So we said, what does it mean? Eino tanai kedivrei Rashi. This is not a condition, part of the conditional vow. Aval hu neder. V'inyono im ashuv el beis avi, e'evod Hashem hamiyuchod be'eretz hanivcheres. It's a statement of fact. If I can come back, if you bring me back, or if you let me come back, I recognize that I will be then able to have a complete relationship with you. And I recognize that it's only upon coming back that that relationship would be complete. So go back and read the neder up on top the way he reads it. Vayidor Yaakov neder lemor, etc., etc. If you go with me and guard me, v'shamti v'shalom el beis avi, second pasuk, and I come back and I'm able to come back, v'haya Hashem li l'elokim. Then I recognize that then and only then will you fully be my God. And quotes the Ramban, a statement of Chazal, at the bottom of the page in the Gemara, kol hador b'chutzah la'aretz dome k'mi she'ein lo eloka. Anybody who lives outside the land of Israel is to be compared to someone who has no God. What does that mean, says the Ramban? It means that your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, although real and important, is incomplete until you're back here. All right, so the Ramban now, by doing that, has shifted our understanding of the vow, right? It's no longer, if you be my, you know, do this for me, then you'll be my God. It's, if you give me the opportunity to come back, I recognize that then you will fully be my God. But we're going to go one step further. And it surprises me that I haven't found this in any of the Mefarshim yet. That doesn't mean I've exhausted all the possibilities. but I really think it could be Pashat Pshat, and I have a theory as to why the Ramban doesn't say it. But let me explain. Go back now to the dream. Go back to the dream for a moment, which is at the top of the page. The dream, second paragraph on the page. And take a look at what God... Now, before we look at the text, let's place ourselves, as you suggested, in Yaakov's place. Yaakov is leaving Eretz Yisrael in the darkness of the night. He is what? He's running away from Esav. He's running away for his life. He's running to an unknown location for him to find a wife. He is leaving the land of Israel, as I said at the beginning of the class, for the first time in over a generation. His father never left, right? Yitzchak wanted to leave in a famine and was stopped by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped him and said, you can't leave, unlike Avraham who left. Yaakov's leaving for the first time. He is also doing this at a time in history where gods were believed to be connected to territory. What I mean by that is there was a god of Israel and there was a god of Babylon in the popular world. People felt that if you moved to Babylon, if you moved to another place, then you had to adopt the new god. In other words, you couldn't. So he's leaving now and he doesn't know what's going on, what's going to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him and says, the first paragraph says, first sentence, and the second paragraph says, God is above him and says, Ani Hashem Elokei Avram Avicha, Ha'aretz Asher Ata Shochev Aleha Lecha Etnenu Lezarecha. I will give this land to you and to your children. Your children are going to be as plentiful as the dust of the earth, and you will spread out east, west, etc., etc. But here's the key sentence, which is underlined. Stop there. God at that point is making a revolutionary statement to Yaakov. And it's a statement of tremendous comfort, which is what? I'm not tied to this land. I can be your God and will be your God wherever you go. All right? That's why that sentence becomes so important. I will be with you, and therefore leaving this land does not sever our relationship. I will guard you wherever you go. Now, what is the logical conclusion of that statement? If God will be with me wherever I go, then what? Then he'll protect me, but then what? Then I can be wherever I want, right? I don't have to come back. I can be, if God's attached to this land and I want him to be my God, then I got to come back here. But if God will be wherever I go, then I can live in the house of law. I can live, and God will be my God. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu then goes on. And what does he say in the second half of the sentence? V'hashivosicha el ha'adamah hazos. But no, there's a balance. You can go wherever you want, and I'll be with you wherever you want, but I will bring you back here. So pack up for a minute. And think with me, because this is an important moment. God's not just speaking to Yaakov, God's speaking to us, to Klal Yisrael across the generations. And what's that balance? The balance that we ourselves have lived in our history, which is, yes, you can be Jewish wherever you are, if they let you, right? But you're not supposed to stay there. What are you supposed to do? Supposed to come back. And by the way, this isn't a foregone conclusion. I'm going to read to you now from the Pittsburgh Platform. Pittsburgh Platform was the platform of the Reform movement in America, all right, in 1885. And listen to what they said in their platform, establishing the Reform movement. Because in light of the fact that we are, quote, a universal culture of heart and intellect. We consider ourselves no longer a nation, but a religious community, and therefore expect neither a return to Palestine, right? And at that time, there was no Israel, it was Palestine, nor a sacrificial worship under the sons of Aaron, nor the restoration of any of the laws concerning the Jewish state. What? Now this, by the way, all of us went, wow, how could they say? That is a logical conclusion. It's a logical conclusion if you back up and you say, God wants us to be an Or LaGoyim. Right? God wants us to affect the world. What better way to affect the world than what? To live in the world. What better way to affect the world than to be in every place? And to... So the logical conclusion of success in Galus to the Reform movement was what? Let's just stay here. That would be a result, perhaps, but that's not what they're saying. They're saying we'll stay Jewish wherever we are. In 1937, there was another Reform movement convocation. Listen to what they said then. It was the Columbus Platform. They affirmed, quote, the obligation of all Jewry to aid in Palestine's upbuilding as a Jewish homeland by endeavoring to make it not only a haven of refuge for the oppressed, but also a center of Jewish culture and spiritual life. What changed from 1885 to 1937? The world, right? Okay, so what you are witnessing is not necessarily a change of heart, but a recognition of the reality, which is that's in the shadow of the Holocaust. And that was why they changed. But they had this logical assumption that we could stay wherever we are. Now go back to the Neder. And I'm going to make a suggestion. Again, like I said, I haven't seen anyone else make. Read the Neder with me. Top of the page. Im yesha Elokim ima diyushmanani baderech hazeh asher nochi holech. If God will be with me and guard me, top of page one still, right? On this journey that I'm going. V'nosan li lechem lechol uveged lilbosh. And you make for me, you give me, food to eat and clothing to wear. V'shavti v'shalom el beis avi. You know what I promise God? I'll come back. Vishavti is the promise, I would suggest. And it fits because it's the start of a new sentence, by the way, right? So what is Yaakov saying? It's a neder. The neder is, God, if you take care of me wherever I go, I promise you I won't misunderstand. I won't misinterpret. I won't think that means I can stay wherever I want to be. Vishavti vishalom el beis avi. I promise you that I will come back to the home of my father. V'haya Hashem li l'elokim. Now we can read, go like the Ramban, where I believe God will fully be my God, and then all of these things fall into place. So it becomes, perhaps, I'm suggesting this to you, and I'll be happy to hear your comments after the class, because as I said, I haven't seen this anywhere else, that this is the a potential interpretation of the net. That Yaakov is saying, I won't stay in Golos. If I have the opportunity, I will come back. All right? I'm going to thank you. It's wonderful how people make comments that lead me to the next thing that I was just going to say. So, all right? Good. All right? So, just stay where you are. All right? So therefore, Yaakov is therefore now committed, right? And this Matzeva, he's anointed, he's going to come back to it, and it's all set. And of course, as I said, Masa Avot Siman Labonim, God speaking this way and love unpromising, this is the tension of Jewish life. And the next little paragraph that I have shows you how Yaakov must have felt at this time. You see where the next paragraph on the second page, just one line, Vayisa Yaakov Raglov, right? Vayelech Artso B'nei Kedem. Yaakov lifted up his feet and went to the east, right, to the land of the east. So there is a debate on what the phrase "Vayiso Yaakov es raglov" means. It's a strange phrase. You know, what does it say? He went ahead. What's the, he lifted his feet. So there's a debate. The debate is, one rabbinic source says, "Vayiso Yaakov raglov" means that he lifted his feet like on the wings of, you know, he really excited. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised he's going to be with him, dot, dot, dot. Another position says exactly the opposite. Vayisa Yaakov es raglov, you know, it was, he lifted them with great, which one is correct? They're both correct. Yaakov is now torn. He's going, he's looking for the adventure ahead. He's looking to find a wife. He knows God's going to be with him. He has this promise, but he said he has to leave Eretz Yisrael. And he knows that he's supposed to return. Okay, so all that, as I said on the page, is before. What's before? Before the journey, right? Now let's take a look at after. After is when? After is after 30 years in the house of Laban, right? 20 years in the house of Laban, sorry. I was never a good math student. 20 years in the house of Laban. So Yaakov has worked 7 years for and received Leah, 7 years for Rachel, 6 years in which he has become, as you've said, extremely successful. What would I expect would happen based on the neder? Yaakov's going to go home. Take a look at what happens. Vayar Yaakov, I'm looking at the first paragraph in the section after. Es penei lavon vihine enenu imo kitmol shilshom. Yaakov starts seeing that Lavon is starting to have a problem with Yaakov. Why? Because Yaakov's been super successful. He made a deal with Lavon that should have gone in Lavon's favor. What was the deal? That Lavon would get all the white sheep and he'd all get, and he's become, all the sheep had become spotted and speckled and he's gotten all of this sheep and it's, he's become. Vayomer Hashem el Yaakov, Shuv el Eretz Avosecha ulemoladetecha veheyeh imach. And God said to Yaakov, go back to the home of your father and to your birthplace and I will be with you. So what do you see? He's reminding him. I wouldn't call that a reminder. He's telling him to go. Which means that had he not told him to go, he might not have gone. Take a look at how this is elaborated upon in the next paragraph. Yaakov, in the next paragraph, well, don't read it yet. Let me set the setting. Yaakov now has to convince Leah and Rachel that it's time to leave. He therefore turns to them and he says, I had a dream. It's the second dream of Yaakov in Vayetze. People don't pay attention to it. It's the second dream. And the second dream, because of the way it's emerging in the text, we don't know if it really happened. It, either it happened and he's retelling the dream, or it's Yaakov's way of what? Trying to convince Leah and Rachel that he, maybe it's just he was told to go back, but I got to find it. But let's assume that he had the dream. Vayibes Yecham Hatzon, this is my dream, Yaakov says. It was at the time of the heat, when the tzon were in becoming pregnant, etc. I lift my eyes and I see, behold, spotted sheep, speckled sheep. I'm looking, I see all these different sheep. Vayomer Elai Malach Elokim Bachalom Yaakov. And the Malach of God appeared to me and said in the dream, Yaakov, Vayomer Hineni. Vayomer sono einecho urei kolo atudim olim alatzon akudim nekudim uvridim. Take a look. Look at all these spotted and speckled and whatever sheep, right? Ki ra'isi es kol asher Lavan oselecho. I see everything Lavan is doing to you. What does that refer to? So most Mefarshim will say, I see how Lavan is trying to cheat you. I see how he's trying to change the deal, etc., etc. Now look at this next line. It's a powerful line. Anochi akel beis el, asher moshachto shom matzeva. I am the God of Beit El, where you did what? Where you put up the matzeva. Ve'asher, and this to me is support for our interpretation. Ve'asher nodarto shom neder. And where you made a neder to what? To go back, right? Ato kumse min ha'aretz hazos v'shuv el eretz moladetecha. Now, go back. So first of all, what we see here is extremely important. Before I go into other details of what we see, Yaakov makes a neder, but had God not then said to him, go back, there's a good chance he would have stayed. Why? For the same reason that lots of people are still staying. What? It's comfortable, it's successful, and by the way, and look how the Torah is seeing being so prophetic. He sees Lavan is looking at him askance. It's becoming dangerous. And he still stays. Right? He doesn't say, the Torah doesn't say that he saw Lavan looking at him askance and he decided to go. Right? It says he sees Lavan looking at him askance and he has to be commanded to go. Does this sound familiar? You're quoting me a Midrash, which, by the way, not everyone accepts, all right, that because that he goes back to Israel, now the Torah will kick in and he won't be able to have two wives. It's one position in the Midrash. Most would say that he can still have two wives because, first of all, he can have two. The issue is not two wives. The issue is sisters. Because the Torah, according to the Torah, a man can have two wives. That it's only a Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom that stops the Ashkenazic community from being polygamous. The issue is two sisters. Before the giving of the Torah, according to many Mefarshim, there was no Iser. So this is prior to that. So it's a nice Medrash. He might be hesitating to go back because he may be afraid of confronting Esau. Right, now, coming back is complicated, as we will see. This is going to be, because Esau is, right, in the back, yes. Just stretching, yeah. Of course. Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. How many people went back in Bavel? Less than 10%, all right? And we're seeing it now. We're seeing it now. This is it's very, very hard. Here I am. I was a rabbi in Englewood, New Jersey for 34 years. I didn't leave. My wife would have been happy to come here 30 years ago. All right? So we're all, many of us are guilty of it, even though we are here, thank God. So we're less guilty at this point. But the point is, this is not just happening to Yaakov. This is Maase Avot Siman Labonim. This is the Torah talking to us. Yes. You have presumed a comment made by a very well-known rabbi, Rabbi Israel Miller, Alav HaShalom, who is quoted as saying that this dream, what does this dream say to Yaakov? When you stop dreaming of angels and you start dreaming of sheep, it's time to go home. All right? And again, this is a very real aspect of our own experience. When, don't repeat it to my Englewood congregants, but when I went back this last time and I walked around the streets of Englewood where I had lived for 34 years, it appeared alien to me. The big houses, the wealth, it just felt strange. And for me to feel that after two years of being here, but when you're there and you're living it, that's your life. And therefore what he's saying, and therefore according to that interpretation also, when it says, I see what Lavan is doing to you, it's not that I see what Lavan is doing to you because he's trying to trick you. It's what? I see how Lavan is changing you. I see how Lavan is making you like him. And therefore, what happens is, now by the way, we can also, so what are we suggesting? We're suggesting that, when I said to you that this parsha can be seen as a total cohesive whole, with a cohesive challenge, all right, with the neder serving as its fulcrum, look at what this Torah portion is saying to us. It is mirroring for us the journey, the first golos but prior to the national era of the Jewish people, right? It's we're going out. He's living in an alien land, and the challenge of return for Yaakov Avinu is a tremendous challenge, and one that he doesn't take on his own and doesn't take the initiative, but only does it when he when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him and says, "Go back." Now, my suggestion, by the way, and I said I was going to suggest why I don't think the Ramban... Now, this, to me, is the logical step that the Ramban was suggesting, but he doesn't go that far. Maybe because, living when he lived, he couldn't contemplate a time like ours when the opportunity to return to Israel would be available. And maybe because he couldn't contemplate the possibility that when it becomes available, that Jews would choose not to go back. So that may be why he didn't interpret it as a promise to come back, because Yaakov doesn't have to promise to come back, according to him. All right, I don't know. Anyway, turn the page. And I want to show you now how the Torah does something extraordinary. And it's all part of this whole message. Yaakov travels back to Israel, right? And as he's traveling back to Israel, something happens. V'Yaakov halach l'darko, and this is after Lavan has chased him, and Lavan threatens him, and he has words with Lavan, and then they put up a monument and a mountain, and they say this mountain of stone is going to be the boundary between us, etc., etc. Yaakov comes back, and the Torah says, V'Yaakov halach l'darko, Vayifku'u vo malachei Elokim. And a group of angels encountered him. Vayomer Yaakov kasher ra'am machane Elokim ze. Yaakov, when he saw that they had encountered him, says, this is a God's camp. Vayikrom shem hamakom ha'hu machanayim. And he called the place Machanayim. Anything strike you as strange in those sentences? What's missing? What's missing is what? What? Well, okay. So the Rambam will say, by the way, that every time, and there are different interpretations about malachim and what malachim are. Are they real? Are they imaginary? Are they illusion? Chazal will talk about them being any one of a possible different physical things, either physical or only perceived. Chazal will say that they are just extensions of Hashem because they have no free choice. They're representing God's will. But what's missing here? Okay, so that's one explanation, but there's still something missing. And when you read the Torah, what did these angels do? They met him, and what? They don't say anything. Remember, we had this in Parshas Vayera, where God encounters him in the tent and doesn't do any. It seems you don't have an encounter with angels without there being some substance to it. So one answer is what you're suggesting, right? Which is what? That... And Chazal say this on the first dream, right? The first dream says, Malachei Elokim Olim V'yardimbo, right? There was a ladder, and the angels of God were ascending and descending. So the rabbis say, what's the matter with that? You would expect them to descend first and then ascend, right? If angels are in heaven. So one interpretation is that the angels of God who accompany him in Eretz Yisrael are different than the angels that accompany him outside. Which, by the way, mirrors the Ramban. Which is that my relationship... here's how to understand a Medrash, right? That my relationship with God in Israel is different than my relationship with God elsewhere. Why do I have different angels? Because I have a different relationship with God. So that's the Ramban, who says God is only completely with me when I'm in the land of Israel. So there are those who suggest that who are these angels that are now meeting him, and why don't they say anything? It's simple. They're the angels of the land of Israel. And he left them when he left Israel, and he's coming back now, and he's meeting them again. So that's one interpretation. Another interpretation, and these interpretations show how Chazal are wrestling with the absence of substance here, is that this is really a precursor. It's referring to an encounter that's going to happen in next week's in the parsha after Vayetze. What's a parsha after Vayetze? Vayishlach. What happens in the beginning of Vayishlach? He wrestles with an angel. This sentence is already precursing that. Foreshadowing. Thank you very much. I don't think precursing is a verb. All right. Foreshadowing that. It's a foreshadowing of that encounter, of the wrestle with the angel, which is going to take place in Vayishlach. But I want to show you something fascinating. What word is sort of strange here? Vayifka'u, right? What does Vayifka'u mean? Well, maybe in current Israel, it means to encounter. It means to sort of come up against, to hit, right? To bump into. Vayifka'u vo. Does anyone know where else that word was used? In the beginning of the parsha, right? Very good. How did the parsha describe Yaakov arriving at the place where he has the dream? It says Vayifga b'makom, right? And the Chazal are astonished. What's Vayifga b'makom? So they say Pigiyah means davening. Pigiyah means, it means encountering. It's not just coming to the place. There are a variety of different explanations. But I want to show you something here. What's the difference between Vayifga b'makom and Vayifka uvo? Subject and object. Who is the, right. Who's the subject and who's the object here? When Yaakov leaves Eretz Yisrael, and I'm doing my Gemara language. When Yaakov leaves Eretz Yisrael, Vayifga b'makom. He is encountering the angels. The angels are towering above him. When he comes back, Vayifke'uvo malach Elokim. When he comes back, who is towering over whom? Right? Now, he, fulfilling the neder, coming back to Eretz Yisrael, of his own volition, he is towering over the angels. And that brings this whole thing full circle. Basically saying that the leaving from Eretz Yisrael diminishes you, and coming back to Eretz Yisrael, fulfilling that vow, therefore raises you even above the angels. All right, so just to very, very briefly review, because we're finishing now, this parsha is a complete whole. It, as you pointed out, but you know, is a foreshadowing of our own experience across the ages. It's a reminder to all those living in Golos and all of us that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us wherever we are, he's only fully with us here, and it's the obligation of the Jewish people to return to the land. And all of that is foreshadowed in the life of the third patriarch. All right, thank you very much, everybody.